Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles being the schemes, the strategies of the devil. "For we wrestle not." Why do you need on the armor? Why do you need to stand? "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you agree with that verse?
Amen.
Do you feel that verse?
Yes. Yeah.
"Wherefore," what do? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." The idea is, having done everything you need to do, you stand. You take your place. You don't move, you stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Simply speaking about the midsection, or like our belt, taking a belt, but that belt of truth. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness," protecting all the internal organs, "and your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace." The idea that you have a firm foundation, you're advancing, you're taking your stand on the reality and the truth of the gospel, that you're not buckling on that. And boy, aren't we tempted to in this day. We're constantly hearing winds of doctrine. We're standing on that firm foundation, the gospel of peace. "Above all, taking the shield of faith," that dependence, that trust, that godwardness, "wherewith ye shall be able to quench all," not some, but all, "the fiery darts of the wicked." I like that. He didn't just give us a method that, you know, is going to get us through 80% of the way. It's all the fiery darts of the wicked. Every fiery dart we can handle this week with the Lord's help. And verse number 17, "and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. It's not just having the Bible, but it's the very rhema, it's the very words of God. Not just the logos in general, but the very words. And they're like a dagger. They're quick and they're powerful. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. And then verse 18, and I want you to read this one out loud together with me. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Paul specifically gives a prayer request. "And for me, that utterance may be given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Doesn't seem like Paul should have to ask that prayer request, but he does. He does. And so we should have a similar prayer request as well. Our focus tonight is verse number 18, "praying always, and then watching thereunto." Let's be seated and I'll pray. Father, again, we just give you thanks for allowing us to be here. Thank you for providing such a wonderful protection. And Lord, this assembly knows that we're in a battle. We feel it. Sometimes it almost makes our skin crawl how perverse that it is. Lord, we can focus on all of that, or we can focus on what you told us to, and that's put on the armor, stand, pray. Lord, you've given us quite an assurance here that we can we can see every fiery dart stopped against us personally, against our family, against our church. Lord, we can see it stopped when we do it your way. So would you be our teacher tonight? I am keenly aware of my need just to be able to communicate this and help us, Lord. So easy to be discouraged. So easy to be despondent. Lord, it's so easy to be overwhelmed and do nothing. To sit on the sidelines and watch the battle go on, watch the world curse and defame your name. To watch people trip up. So Lord, we just really need your help. We need you in this moment to help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I pray for our young people. Lord, I ask that you would help them to be good soldiers. They wouldn't just hear us say how to do it, but they'd see us do it. They see us battle. They see us as dads and moms battle. They see the older generation of our church to battle. So work in our hearts, we pray. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine, I didn't serve in the military. My dad was a Marine. He did not see combat. How many of you served in the military here tonight? Okay. Did any of you see combat? Yeah. Difficult thing. I mean, we've met people that have, and you certainly know of people that have been in combat, and it's a difficult thing. But can you imagine with me just kind of this scene? It's make-believe. I just want to draw us down a thought process. But can you imagine a young man or woman graduating from boot camp, and along with the rest of their trooper platoon, they've graduated, and they're very excited. They're now officially a part. They're now officially United States service member, and they get orders, and it's met with a little bit of mixed feelings because they realize they're going to be entering a combat zone, but they get orders, they get their gear, their all that the United States government issues them, their weaponry, their armor, their different protective gear, as well as just gear to help them on in the battlefront. And so they get this, and they ship on, and they arrive at the battle zone, or in the place where they're going to be basing from, and they arrive there, and rather than reporting for duty, this group of soldiers kind of gather in the barracks, and they have all their stuff that they've been supplied with. They gather in the barracks, and they begin to even put the armor on. They begin to put on their protective gear, and they begin to conversate with one another how awesome it is that the United States government has issued these things to them. I don't remember where I was, but oh, it was at the National Night Out, and they had the different booths out there, and someone had the MREs, and anyone eat MREs? Sideline here, rabbit. This is a declared rabbit. But anyway, back in the 1990s, we had gotten some MREs from Desert Storm, and they were around for a long while, and we'd eat those things just as, you know, it wasn't our main diet, but kudos to our service members for that being their diet. But anyway, they have all this, and they're gathered around in the barracks, and they're talking. One of the soldiers even stands up, and he begins to wax eloquent about how awesome this bulletproof vest is, and the helmet, and his boots that are so nice and breathable in the hot desert. And they begin to just talk about this. One musically inclined guy even sings about the armor and the different protective pieces that they've been given, and they're just having a good old time. In fact, if you were to peer into the barracks, you wouldn't even completely realize that these guys thought, you know, or were actually in a combat zone. It seemed like they had all day. They certainly weren't in a rush to go anywhere. They weren't in a rush to talk to commanders and see what to do next. They were just there kind of talking about it. They had all the resources to be able to go out and meet this battle that was all around them, but they were just there. Other troops had called in and reported for duty, and they had been sent on their way, but this group of folks have stayed there and just kind of settled in. Picture I hope that I'm painting is sometimes in the Christian life. We've been dropped in the middle of an absolute war zone. there's live ammunition that is going on, spiritual ammunition that is being fired. It's a reality. Satan isn't playing around. Yet sometimes, though we have been given all the armor of God wherewith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, we've been given everything we need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age and to stand victorious. Sometimes we gather in our assemblies, which God told us to. But sometimes we gather in our assemblies and we have our huddles that, and we never actually get to the battlefront. We talk about the battle. We talk about the armor that has been given to us. We talk about the wonders of God's blessing, His protection, all these things. But we never actually call them up and say, "I am here and I'm reporting for duty. What do you want me to do right now?" If you look at this passage on the armor, there are six pieces of armor that are given to us. And we've studied those. We just studied them last year in growth group. And we can talk about having the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, which is practical righteousness, which a righteous or a life of integrity is a great protection. Is a great protection. You ever found people that are going through and they've been scandalous and they've told a lot of lies and all of a sudden it catches up with them? Well, God says, your practical, your daily righteousness, right living is a great protection to you, to your internal organs, to your heart. What does he say? Watch your heart, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. So God gives us all this armor and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for the helmet of salvation, which absolutely is a protection. There's no condemnation. There's no death that can take you out. Just like he said this morning, if we die, we're going to heaven. We are safe with him. There's a protection to that, and it protects our thinking when we realize who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, what a wonderful thing that we don't have to convince people to follow after God. We don't have to, we can just simply give the sword of the Spirit, give scriptural truth, and God does the work. I mean, it's an amazing thing. We don't even have to fight the devil with our own words. Some people try. But we don't even have to fight the spiritual battle with our own words. We simply can take the very words of Scripture. I loved what Brother Ron said this morning. Don't just pay attention to the reading of the Word. Pay attention to the words. That was very insightful. We can take the words of Scripture and we can use it in the battle, which means we actually have to know the words of Scripture. So we have all this, six pieces of armor that the Lord has given us, and Paul uses the picture of a Roman soldier, and a soldier would be quite foolish to go out into battle without the armor. In fact, a soldier would be very foolish not to go into battle without one of the pieces, you know, without a sword or without the belt of truth. Whereas the sword of the Spirit is the very words of Scripture. The belt of truth is the Scripture, the more general Scripture, the Logos, the Word of God, the truth of God, which is eternal, which holds all the rest of the armor together. Truth holds the armor in place, kind of hangs on that. So God's given us so much. Yet when Paul gets down to verse number 18, you're done with the Roman pieces of armor. You're done with those pieces. Yet he goes on and he says, with great command, as much as you ought to put on all these other pieces of armor, with great command, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I want us to think about two different thoughts here in this verse that are given us, or two commands that Paul gives to us in response, or as we wear this armor. So the title of tonight, if you're taking notes, is this: After Armor. After Armor. So I got my armor on. Now what? Now what? Where do I go from here? Now what? What do I do with the armor? God doesn't give us armor to stay back in the assembly. We are not intended to huddle up inside church buildings and just stay here. We have a battle to engage in this week. We have a battle to engage in our homes, in our own lives. How many are with me on just that? In our own lives, we have a battle to engage in. It's an all-out war sometimes right inside my heart. And Satan is, the force of good and evil right just there. So we have a battle to engage in. What do we do with the armor after we put it on? He says, praying always. And so I want us to notice, first of all, this matter of communication, how important it is in our lives as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must put on the armor. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Simply make requests. Talk to God. Report for duty. Show up, Lord, what do you want me to do? I need wisdom in this thing. I don't know how to engage in this battle. I don't know what strategy you want me. And you know what? If we ask God, He'll give it to us. He'll answer us in that. He'll give us direction. No commanders like, I ain't talking to you today. No, He wants to talk to His soldiers. He's not a good commander that's going to last long if He doesn't, right? You with me? And our God, He's always ready to answer His soldiers. He's always ready to communicate and answer the request. But I do not want to miss this. He says praying always. Sometimes we think of the action of prayer, but Paul gives us the idea that this prayer is very much for our own good as soldiers. This prayer is something that you and I need to practice for our own spiritual good. This communication that we have with our commander is key to your spiritual life and to your success as a soldier, to you being a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you must do this. This isn't something you can skip on. This is not one of the things. You got all the armor on? Great. You can't skip on praying. You can't skip on bowing before deity and praying to the God of heaven. John Rice said, prayer is asking and receiving. Prayer is asking and receiving. Just that simple. Well, I don't know the things to say and how to exactly phrase it. You know what? Share your heart. Just pour out your heart. Just talk to them like you talk to somebody else. Well, I don't talk to other people very good. That's fine. God knows. God knows. Pray. You know what? What's a really wonderful promise? Romans chapter 8. He says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He knows what we want to ask even before we ask it. He helps us with our groanings that can't be uttered. He prays for us. What a good God that we have. Prayer, as one man said, should not be an afterthought for believers, but rather the primary source of strength. Lord, I need you. Lord, I must have you. I need your direction in the battle. I feel like we're being overwhelmed. I feel like we're losing ground. I need your direction. Tell me what to do. And Paul says here, very, very carefully, that this is important above all other things. Did you notice in verse number 18, he says, praying always with all prayer. Praying always. Not just some of the time, but praying always. This needs to be a part of everything. All. And on three different times, he says the word all. Make sure that you are praying and that you are doing it thoroughly, that you are engaging in this matter of prayer. If the lines of communication in a battle are cut, there's a problem. We watched again, and I really love this presentation on D-Day at the Air Force Museum. And one of the things they would take out, lines of communication. And they sought to bomb those and take them out to cripple the other side, to cripple the enemy. You know, when we lose our line of communication, it cripples us. We feel like we're all alone. We feel like we don't have orders. We don't know where the enemy is, and we don't know what to do in relation to God's will. And so those lines of communication are so very important. In Paul's day, it was likely that many of the messengers, the communication happened through people on horseback, mounted messengers. A little later on, they might have started using carrier pigeons of some sort, and perhaps even in that day, I'm not for certain. But do you know what? We have something far better than mounted communication. We have something far better than courier pigeons. We have the right, the invite, to step into the throne room of God and talk to Him at any time as one of His soldiers. William Cowper said this, "Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Well, I'm not a very good soldier. Pray always. Pray always. Always give yourself to prayer. Paul said to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Always remain in the attitude of prayer. In other words, always keep the lines of communication open with your commander. Always. Every day. Lord, Master, Commander, what do you have for me today? What do you want me to watch out for today? What in my life is going to come up against me? How is Satan planning to attack me today? Lord, I need your direction. I need your discernment. I need your help in being watchful. And so prayer unites us with God's mission. Prayer helps us as a source of communication. It helps us to be connected with our God. Napoleon Bonaparte, I say that name, and most people think of him as a military hero, like a man, maybe hero is the wrong word, but a person who was skillful in battle. And he said this, the secret of war lies in communication. The secret of war lies in communication. And friends, if a worldly leader would say that about worldly battles, how much more important is it for the spiritual battles we're engaged in right now? Many believers do not see the spiritual battle. And they're not talking to headquarters. It's been a while since they've prayed. They can think over a week. It's not hours that they've been out of contact with God or minutes that they've been out of contact. They've been out of contact with God for days. And how we need to value prayer and communication with our master. Let's be good soldiers. Let's be good soldiers. So I want to just encourage you in this matter. If the Holy Spirit touches your heart, prompts you to pray, just pray. I guarantee he is more than we think. Ask him to make you sensitive to that this week. Ask him to help you just to hear his voice on this matter. It's time to pray. Make sure that you get up and get going immediately with prayer. Just make it your daily practice when you get up. Just breathe a prayer to your commander. Talk to him. I'm reporting for duty. Good morning, Lord. How are you today? We've said before, but perhaps just add in, I'm reporting for duty. What do you have for me today? But that constant attitude of prayer, communication is so important. Paul gives all this armor, but he says, praying always. This is good for you, good for your spiritual life, if you will give yourself to prayer. And he commands it. He commands it. And so we ought to take heed to that and practice. We can all do that, right? That's something every single one of us can do. You might not be skillful. You might not have the gifts that somebody else has, but you can pray, right? You all with me? You can pray. So amen to that. So we can all practice that this week. And wow, what a difference that would make for our church if just the members represented right here tonight would act that way in the spiritual battle, praying for one another. What if God prompts you to pray for another believer, another member of our church, and you pray for them? You pause in your mind to pray specifically. I'm praying for peace in their life. I'm praying that they would be in tune to your voice. I'm praying that you guard them from sin and that they would obey your Holy Spirit when you say, don't go that way. And you pray specifically for them. And you let them know. Boy, can you imagine what a difference that would make right within our church family, within the troop that we get to serve with. And so let's be in constant communication with our master. But number two, would you look at it with me? He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And watching. And watching thereunto. And watching thereunto with all perseverance, long-suffering. I'm staying in it. I'm not going to easily give up. So he says, watching. So as much as there is a command to pray, there's a command to watch. You're been able to see somebody going down the street and walking and texting? I know we've seen it driving, but walking and texting, and they almost bump into you because they weren't watching where they were going, and then maybe they're upset at you for being in their way. Watching. Paul says watching. I want you to think of this word as vigilance, an alertness. A carefulness. We're on guard. We're in place. We're not We're not sidetracked. We're not like those soldiers in the barracks shooting the breeze and talking about how nice the armor is. They're watching. They're engaged. They're aware. Their minds are in tune with what's going on around them. And so watching to be alert, to be staying awake. And again, this is for our own spiritual good, that we would do this for the Lord. And so he commands it. And sometimes we're not aware that there's a battle going on around us. And friends, I believe if we really understood the truth that many believers across our country, but just in general, many believers are not aware of the spiritual battle. They're consumed with stuff and where they're going to go and work and career, and they're not aware, they're not vigilant about the fact we every single day are in a spiritual battle. Now, I'm not talking about being spooky and mystical and you know looking behind every rock for Satan. I'm not talking about that, but friends, don't let that type of thinking scare you away from realizing every day you wake up, there's a battle against you and there's a battle against righteousness all around us. It's a reality. And so God calls these people with armor on, these believers with armor on, make sure that you're vigilant, that you're aware, that you're watching. Now, it seems like you would not have to tell a soldier in the midst of a battle zone, in a war zone, to watch. But God does. Why? Because sometimes we don't watch. We aren't watching as we ought to. And the Lord help us with that. And we have to cultivate that watchfulness. We have to determine, by the way, that is something you do for yourself. God isn't going to magically make you watchful. There is a choice on your part for your own good. You need to be watchful. You need to be vigilant. And so this is an action that we need to take. We need to be vigilant in our prayer, in our communication, vigilant about the schemes of the devil, realizing Satan's constantly scheming for your own spiritual hurt. He always wants to bring death into your life, separation and disfellowship. He always wants to hurt you and bring you down. And so there's many schemes against you, and we ought to be vigilant in those things. We ought to be vigilant to our own propensity to rest on the flesh, to depend on the flesh, to depend on the armor of flesh, and to be self-centered and self-focused. Oh, aren't we so prone to that? We get everything about me. Satan loves to get a bunch of believers thinking it's all about me. You know what happens when we start thinking that way? We start judging other people, criticizing other people, getting defensive against our own troop, right? Satan loves to get us in that zone. It's all about you. Just depend on your flesh. Keep yourself comfortable. And so we have to be vigilant in this matter when we're starting to lean on the arm of the flesh and to think self-centered thoughts, vigilant to the dangers that we're facing and that our fellow soldiers are facing. I've not been in combat, as you understand, but I think it would really be important to have somebody watching your back and them know that you're watching their back. Sometimes we see people falling or getting tripped up by the enemy, and we don't watch their back or have their best interest in mind. What is it, the Marines? Do we have a Marine here? We're an Air Force country. But, yes, that's right. But there, no man left behind. I believe that's a general principle with soldiers. We're not going to leave anyone behind. Sometimes as God's people, God's army, we leave soldiers behind. We ought not do that. We ought to be watching, vigilant, watching for one another's back, watching for the pitfalls that are there for those that are down. Hey, can I help? Watching. He's just simply saying, hey, watching. And notice the watching specifically has an application to perseverance, to staying in the battle, to not giving up, but supplication for all the saints, begging God for all the saints. That our watching isn't just watching to see watching what's going on in other people's business, but specifically so that we might pray for them, So this watching has a great application. So we are to be vigilant in these ways. We're to be vigilant to those who are threatened by the battle. I think about folks aimlessly wandering through life. They don't know Jesus Christ. They don't realize that Satan's gunning for their soul. Satan wants nothing more than to take them out through an overdose. You know how vile Satan is? I was driving by and I saw a billboard and it showed fentanyl on the end of the tip of a pencil and said, "This is a lethal dose." Have you seen that billboard? You know how vile Satan is? That amount of fentanyl that is coming into our country in epic proportions, that little amount is taking people out into a Christless eternity. Satan is he's ruthless. And you and I, as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be vigilant, realizing there are people in our lives, on our street, that are this close to being taken out. And their enemy is Satan. We live in a spiritual battle that we cannot take lightly. We must be vigilant about these things. Lord, help us with that. Lord, help me with that. We must be vigilant. Vigilant, constantly watching, being aware. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know the Corinthian church. They were constantly embroiled in some carnal pursuit. And he's saying, no, you guys need to wake up. You need to get vigilant. You need to be stirred up. There's a battle going on. Some people don't even know about God. They don't even know about Jesus. They don't even know that their sin is going to bring them to a devil's hell. They don't even realize the danger that they're in. Wake up. We need to be vigilant. Vincent said it this way, "One must watch before prayer, in prayer, and after prayer." One must watch. We must be vigilant all the time. And one of the ways we are vigilant is being in connection and communication with headquarters. So the question for us tonight is, are we vigilant? You say, "Well, Pastor, there's days that I'm not very vigilant. I walk through just like those soldiers, hanging out in the barracks, talking about the good things of God, the protection that He gives, but I don't do much with it." Friends, every one of us this week needs to be in communication with headquarters, with our commander. We need to be vigilant. Our eyes need to be opened. You know what? When we're in conversation with Him, He'll let us know what we need to know. He'll help us know where the danger zones are. He'll prompt, friends, He will prompt your heart about your family, about other folks that need your help in that moment. He'll prompt your heart. Because He has interest in the victory. Our God seeks to win, and our God does win. I'm thankful for that. And when we're on His side and doing His will, we win as well. And so I'm thankful for that. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Let's open up our eyes and be vigilant in this battle. Charles Wesley was a great hymn writer. In 1747, he wrote a hymn. We'll sing it as we leave tonight. But he wrote a hymn, and his purpose in this hymn was helping to ground new believers in their faith, helping to confirm them, helping them to understand things. There were 16 verses in total. There are not 16 verses in our hymnal. "Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus' trust is more than conquerors. Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endued, but take to arm you for the fight the panoply, the armor of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. To keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, still walking in the captain's sight and watching unto prayer. From strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray, tread all the powers of darkness down and win the well-fought day." I think as we have glamorized Christianity and as we've made it so consumeristic, we're often tempted to lose the idea that this is a war. And we're going to be warring till Jesus comes or till he takes us home. So my encouragement is, let's be good soldiers. Said we're going to gather together for prayer. We have time before we leave tonight to pray. Just been asking the Lord for how he'd like us to do that. But I want to gather us together. I want to share a few prayer directions. And I want to pray. We might go do this. We might break up into some groups and then gather together all of us together for prayer. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and ask the Lord to guide our time of prayer and helping us to be in communication with him, helping us to be vigilant. But let's right now practice what he's told us to do. We have prayer to do for this week. We have prayer. We've come through a spiritual battle, but there's some souls that need us to pray for them, and we need to pray about that. We're in a battle in our state. We understand that, and we need to pray. And so we're going to do that. So, Father, would you just guide our time here tonight, help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and how we pray. Lord, help us not to make prayer routine. Help us to put aside formality. Lord, prayer is just communication. And so we need your help, even sometimes to set aside what we've heard others say or others do, and just pray in the Spirit. Grow us in this way. Lord, I pray you would only know this, but I pray that you would grow us as a church in prayer this week, that it would be evident that you're working in our hearts. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.